Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we begin our sermon today. Gracious God, I am thankful for your love for us. Help us as we strive to work through life's difficulties and find ways of healing. Heal us in our brokenness. In Jesus' name, amen. I read this psalm, Psalm 13, at the end of the summer. I write my sermons about 9 months ahead, so this was written at least 9 months ago, and then I reflect on them as I get closer to the time that I'm going to preach them, and then the week that I'm preaching them, I really focus and pray over them. So some of the reflections come from 9 months ago, some from about a month or 2 months ago, and some from this week, and this gives me a chance to work through sermons on a long period of time to kind of add to or detract from as they're appropriate. But when I read this psalm at the end of the summer and I was again opened up to it, I was struck by the honesty. I don't know, were you struck by the honesty of this psalm? There's a barrage of questions the psalmist dares to question God about. How long, O Lord? You're going to forget me forever? Are you going to hide your face from me, God? Forever? How long do I have to bear this pain? How long am I going to have sorrow in my heart? Have you met this person? Are you this person? Nothing lyrical about those questions. No spiritual idealism pumping through the pen of the psalmist. The question is like a flare going up, isn't it? My heart's in distress. God, do you even see me? Where are you, God? Something has gone terribly wrong with life, and something is broken in life. And, you know, folks, it's one thing to explore the question theologically and talk about suffering from a philosophical point of view. And it's an entirely different thing to experience it firsthand. This is somebody who's experiencing pain and suffering firsthand. And they're desperate for healing in their brokenness. What do you find when you find yourself broken in life? What do you do when a loved one is broken? More to the point, does your faith in God bring any healing to your life? To your friends? To the world? And jump to the ending. And Psalm 13 ends with this note of faith. I really want you to get this before we move on. Trust in the steadfast love of God is finally discovered. Salvation brings joy to a broken life. And God's generous spirit is experienced once again. And there's gratitude and there's praise and there's joy that finally comes out of this whole experience of pain and sorrow and loss. Okay? I want you to know that. Read the end first. We know the end of the story. Okay? Folks, you know the end of the story. I know the end of the story. We've got good news. And faith is a good news story. But for some people, it's a bad news story before it's good news. It all ends well, but how do you get there? How do you get to that place where everything ends well? And I've been thinking about this over the past week as I reflected. I don't know, did you reflect back over where you were at 9/11? Did you think about that? I did. I had some church members from Newport News actually write about it. They were with me and I was with them. We were in the church office watching the news on TV. In that church, we had an area that was more of an open area, sort of like a lobby with televisions in them. And we had two television sets for people who would come in, and they were sitting there. They could watch TV, sort of like a lobby at a doctor's office. And this is where we had our church. And then the offices kind of sprung off of that, and we had like six different staff who were in six different offices. But we all came out together in this one main area, along with church members who were gathering in our church at the same time, and we met there and watched the tragic events unfold. I've also been reflecting some on the mental illness and mental health and what kinds of tragedies happen because people who struggle and fight with mental illness don't get the kind of help that they need. Have you been asking those same kinds of questions? What happens when we face depression and don't get any resolution? So in light of this magnificent little psalm, I've tried to ask myself some practical questions this week about my religious faith. I've been asking, what's helpful when I need healing in my life? What's not helpful? And how can I help others who need healing in their lives? First thing that comes to mind is that it is rarely helpful to give somebody all the answers when they need healing in their lives. You know, answers suggest that you're fixing something. And we men particularly are like this. You know, we think we've got to fix everything. Is this true, women? Is that right? When you want to share your pain or your sorrow or your struggles, and then the man says, well, let me fix it. And you don't want that at all. Am I right? This means yes. This means no. Some of you are out there. You're good. You're getting this. Yeah, we try to fix things, don't we? When somebody is broken or their life is broken, can you fix it? No. But we try. We try to give answers. Ministers are just as bad at this as anybody else. You go and talk to your pastor and your pastor tries to give you answers. It's not helpful sometimes. Answers suggest you're fixing something. If we just had the answers, everything would be all right. But healing and fixing are not the same thing. Healing and curing is not the same thing. You can be healed but never cured. You can be healed but not really fixed. You can be healed and still have more questions than answers. And more than that, sometimes the things we try to fix in life are the very things that could heal us if we would just endure them a little longer or probe them a little more deeply. You know, many times when we're going through difficult times, we don't only want answers, we won't want just quick answers, but if we're desperate enough, what happens is we'll settle for any kind of answer. It's amazing to me what some people would suggest as being an answer to their problem. When they're desperate enough, they'll take whatever they can find. Anything and everything, you know? That's not healing, folks. When I suffered from my heart attack, it took a long time to heal. It didn't happen overnight. I found myself in the hospital, and then I had surgery, and then I had a healing process. Well, I can't tell you the number of people who came to me and said, you know, if you'll just do, this wasn't you, Tim, or Joe, or all those other, but some folks, you know, they say, if you just do this, 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 and this, folks, I didn't want to hear that. You know what I mean? It's not that easy, is it? That healing process, it takes time, and you've got to nurture it. You can fix a leaky faucet or a broken window or a flat tire, but you can't do that with the human spirit because the human spirit needs process. So does the human body. Have you ever noticed that when you've brokenness in your life, that there are always experts ready to show up and tell you what to do next? You know, your mother, your father, Dr. Phil, your big brother, your boss, your mother. Did I mention your mother? My mother was calling me every day. Bless her heart. I learned to say that when I moved to Virginia. You can say bless your heart about anything and it's all okay. It's like the woman that left and she told me, she said, is your hair always like that? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, well, bless your heart. I thought, I think I've just been insulted, but I can't. But I had my heart blessed, so I don't know. I'm writing a sermon on that. You're gonna love that one. Bless your heart. You know, they all mean well, including my mom. She meant well, but giving advice, giving answers, what you really need to do is this, this, this. If I were you, I'd do this, and you know, and then sometimes even spiritually, if you just trust God, then everything will be okay, folks. Doesn't fly, does it? Healing is not you giving somebody the answer. Healing is not somebody giving you the answer. Another thing that's not helpful, I mentioned this last week in my sermon on forgiveness, but when you need healing ways for broken days, when we tell someone, get over it, snap out of it, that doesn't help. How many times have you just told your spouse, your child, somebody who works in your company, come on, you just need to snap out of it? Is that helpful? Is there anything that's more unhelpful? And there are times when a little word of encouragement will go a long ways. I mean, like that, it's, some people that's going to work. But when you're really suffering and you're struggling and you're dealing with difficulties or depression, if you're going through some kind of major change in your life, if you're having these feelings of unworthiness, somebody saying, snap out of it to you does not do any good. It doesn't bring any healing. It doesn't bring any hope. And what it really does is remind that person that their feelings are unacceptable unless they hurry up and change and get over whatever it is that they're experiencing. Some of you know firsthand what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to have feelings considered unacceptable. You also know that you just can't snap out of something. We're not machines, we're mysteries, and part of that human growth is this experience of challenge. I learned this firsthand. I had a family member that went through depression. Hospitalization, the whole thing. And I remember feeling, even saying to her, you need to get over this. Was I helpful? No. Just get back to the way you used to be. She couldn't just snap out of it. It wasn't because she was weak. It wasn't because she was trying to cause trouble. She was going through a dark season, not like the author of this psalm. And looking back on it now, I'm sure that she felt that her life was being hidden from God. One more thought about what's not helpful before I get into what is. Explaining to people why God's disappointed in them is not really helpful. Having somebody do that to you is not really helpful. Examples, people who are overweight don't need someone to tell them that they're overweight. If somebody's bald, they don't need somebody to tell them, you're bald. If somebody's depressed, they don't need somebody to tell them, you're depressed. They know. People who have failed, they don't need anybody to remind them that they failed. It doesn't help. If For the most part, people don't need to be reminded that God is disappointed in them. They know. When I think about toxic religion, I think about how the very concept of God has been used to create guilt and shame. And let's face it, you know, it's been used to manipulate people, doing something that somebody else wants them to do, sometimes even the minister, inside the church. And that doesn't work, folks. Now, I think God does represent the highest of morals, ideals, and all of us should be striving toward that. I believe that. There's nothing wrong with having ideals. We need them. But what's wrong is when we personalize it, when we focus God's disappointment on us as human beings into one person as a human being. Telling people or feeling it ourselves that God's disappointed in us, it's rarely helpful in finding healing. So what's helpful? Well, I'll start with this one. It's helpful when we can create space. For healing to begin to happen, we need space. Space for grace, space for peace, space for healing. That's what we need. And sometimes we have to do this for ourselves. Sometimes we have to do this for others. But healing requires a sacred space. This sanctuary is a sacred space. When people were hurting and struggling after 9/11, where did people go? Yeah, they went to church. Why? To pray. Because it was a holy place. It's a safe place. And we want to be here. You know, folks tell me that they'll say things like, my family members don't want to come to church, but I'll tell you what, people do want to come to church. They want to come to church if it becomes a holy place, a place of healing, a place of nurturing, a place of love, a place of grace. And they're seeking out God, and where can you find it best except here? And let me also say this to you, if you've got hard questions for God, this is the psalm for you. Folks, it's okay to ask God the hard questions that you have for God, and this is a good place to do it in. God can handle your questions. God's big enough, okay? God can deal with your anger. God's big enough. And some of the most sacred talks I've had with God have been in places like this, and I let God know exactly what was going on in my mind and in my heart. And it's okay. And if you need somebody to join you, I'll be right there with you. God can handle it. If you've got a child who's experiencing pain or suffering or hurting and wants to cry out to you, think about it. Could you handle that? Sure you could. And what would you do as a loving parent? I know what you'd do. You'd wrap your arms around them, wouldn't you? It's okay. So let God know about your pain, your suffering, your hurt, your heartache. Tell God about it. Other safe places, sometimes walking outside. We've got a trail that goes up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and I find myself walking and praying on that trail. It's a safe place. Maybe there's a place where you can light a candle or read a book or say a prayer or listen to music in your home. I hope you have that kind of place. We don't find healing ways unless we find those places where we can open ourselves up to God. I also want to say that space doesn't just mean physical space. I'm talking about a clearing of time. I know it's hard to do, folks, but after my heart attack, I had to have some time, you know? I couldn't come right back to work. I had to have some time, and you were good enough to give it to me. Sometimes we've got to clear some time. Take some time away from everything and find that space so that you can heal. Most of us don't have the luxury of saying, I'm going to take a year off and live under the Tuscan sun and find my healing there. I know that doesn't work for everybody. Sounds pretty good, though, doesn't it?
You're all like, yeah, I love that. We've got jobs and families, responsibilities, and there's a difference in taking time for healing and escapism. Two different things, but having said that, it's important to know that healing happens in our lives when we allow ourselves the space and time for it. Some of us try to heal our lives by plowing on, planting on, harvesting on. Okay, change the space every now and then and let a few things go, and then maybe everything will be okay. It won't. Now, here's another thing that's helpful to me, and maybe it's saying the same thing, I don't know, but it's allowing ourselves and allowing others to have their journey. Letting people have their journey. So many times we live frustrated over what we think our life should be or supposed to be, and what we thought we would be in our relationships with other people. Anybody ever have that? I thought it would be like this. It's not. Didn't turn out the way I wanted. We're all on a journey, folks. And whether you realize it or not, you don't get what you want in life. Anybody realize that? Some of you are like, boy, don't I know. It doesn't work out that way, and you're not in control. Thus, we need faith. But let people have their journey. You need to understand your journey. One way or another, to bring healing, you need to simply respect the journey of others and give them room to live in it. Look, I believe in the power of human beings, and I believe that you make choices. We control our destinies in some ways. I believe all that. But there's a part of our lives and our journey that will never unfold unless you simply relinquish control over it. Do you know what relinquishing control means? It means living by faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It means that we don't always know the way. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It means we don't know how our kids are going to turn out, our grandkids are going to turn out, but sometimes letting go is the most courageous act of faith that you can ever enact. And sometimes letting go is the most respectful thing you can do, letting somebody go on their journey. One more thought. Trust that you're loved by God. Folks, this is most important. Not sometimes, but always. I can't stress this enough. And I run into so many people who don't know this or haven't accepted it. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. Have you got this? This is personal. I want you to turn to each other and tell each other you are loved by God. Tell each other. Are you getting this, folks? That was what the psalmist was struggling with, wasn't it? God, have you forgotten me? Where are you? Sending up a flare. I need help. And the psalmist needed to hear, you are loved by God. You are loved by God. It may feel like God has left you in some way, but I can assure you, God will never, ever, ever leave you. And God will always love you. Hold on to that, folks. Because when we trust that we're loved by God, we can get through the most painful and difficult parts of our living. It's kind of a mantra in my prayers. I use it over and over again. I've used it the last few years. It means as much to healing for me as anything else. And it goes like this, breathing in, I am loved. Breathing out, I love others. Breathing in,
I am loved. When I go to the hospital, breathing in, I am loved. Breathing out, I love others. It becomes a part of who I am. Breathing in, I am loved. Breathing out, I love others. I've used that prayer on airplanes, especially during turbulence. Breathing in, I am loved. I've used it in hospital rooms, during communion, and before I preach. Breathing in, I am loved. Breathing out, I love others. I've used it walking into a house where grief was evident. I've used it wondering if my own children would get through their difficult season in life. And that's my prayer of divine love. So what heals the soul? What heals the soul? The love of God. The love of others. Does it happen overnight? No. It's a journey. Are you broken? Do you need healing? God loves you. Will not leave you. Breathing in, God's love. Breathing out, love for others. God's healing ways for our broken days. Let's pray. God, there are people in our circle of experience who need a healing word or touch. Some thoughts are helpful, others are not. There's something lovely in you, Lord, that's trying to make its way into us. And there's something equally lovely trying to find its way out of us to others. Help us to trust, to believe, to have faith, even as we struggle. So we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.